It's 2:35 p.m., September 28th, 2015. I'm your host, David Lona, and you are listening to The Body Show. Let's talk body talk. Today, my guest is Alejandro Castillo. His partner, Will James, is not in the house, but Alejandro is here, and they are proud owners of Maximum Performance Health and Physical Training Gym in Woodland Hills, California. Hello, Alejandro. How are you?
Hi, David. Thanks for having me. Doing great today.
That sounds like a plan to me. I'm feeling great myself. So, Alejandro, can you tell us a little bit about Maximum Performance Health and Physical Training Gym?
Yeah, we're located in Woodland Hills, right on Ventura Boulevard between Canoga and DeSoto. We opened our doors pretty much the beginning of summer, June. It was myself and my business partner, Will James. We got together and had been thinking about opening up a facility to train our clientele. We've both been personal trainers in the area for over 15 years, and we got together a bunch of people we knew and decided to create a facility for our clients and interested people to come in and get a workout in.
Really? Okay, that sounds interesting, Alejandro. So today what we're going to do is dive into this whole training, working out thing. It's like a big craze. Everyone's into it. Everyone's doing it. So why do you think that is?
I think that one of the things we realize in today's day and age, and everyone realizes this on a certain level, that the one thing you can't just go out and buy is your health and your fitness. You can't go and buy a fast run time or a high vertical leap. It's something that you have to work hard towards. And people are beginning to question how to become healthier, how to become fitter, because it's the one thing you can't just go out and buy at a Starbucks.
You know what? I see a lot of older people getting into this craze, this whole fitness thing. Do you work with a lot of older people?
Both Will and I do. Yeah, our clientele ranges in age groups. I think the youngest we've trained has been 12-year-olds, and the oldest client I have right now is 91.
Yeah, that's interesting. So what's the deal with this 91-year-old? What is he working on?
Well, she really just wants to, you know, regain some mobility and regain some strength. One of the biggest questions I always get asked about the name of the gym when I tell people Maximum Performance, people automatically assume that we only deal with athletes. And the reality is, and this is something that Will and I have both encountered, we're both ex-athletes, is that we all perform tasks. And, you know, when I was in my 20s and competing in fencing, and Will was in his 20s and competing in football, you know, we performed on a court, on a field, and we wanted to be faster, stronger, quicker. My 91-year-old, my 75-year-old, my 60-year-olds, they're perform tasks, but they're different. They want to get on the floor and play with their grandkids. They want to be able to go to the store and pull out groceries and stack things, as opposed to, you know, what 20-year-old or 12-year-old athletes may be looking at. So the degree of performance is really a matter of what we're trying to perform, and because we all have tasks we perform.
That's true. Well, that's interesting, Alejandro. So what's the deal? I have a couple of questions from some of our students, and I'm going to start with a couple of them. So here you go. Is that okay?
Yeah, please.
All right. So how long have you been training?
I started training in 1998 as an assistant fencing coach, and I really dealt with a lot of the strength and conditioning aspects as well as some of the technical aspects. And I was mostly working with youth and junior athletes. And that was short-lived. I was still competing, and my main focus was really more competition. And I kept on competing until about 2003 to 2004.
So you were competing in fencing?
In fencing, yes. I was a competitive fencer. My goal was to make a national or Olympic team at the time.
Right.
I had a back injury in 2003 that, you know, in the run-up to the Olympic year, even though I was not super close to making a team, I had an outside shot. I decided, sitting at my desk job, since college I had worked with Payne Weber and a variety of other startup and dot-com companies, I decided I really wanted to get back to working with people. Something I enjoyed, and helping people develop and improve. And that's really when I started to decide to get into personal training.
Yeah, I bet, because, you know, this personal training business, it seems like you have to love it because you do spend a lot of time in the gym training people.
Well, more importantly, in one of the things one of the biggest difference makers, I think, in a trainer that I like the way they train versus a trainer that I'm not too pleased with how they train is training is about developing a person. It's not, hey, I love lifting weights or I love looking good. It's about, I have a person here that maybe never worked out a day in their life, and how do I get this person to start exercising, to start being healthy, and to start loving not only the activity, but how they look and how they feel about themselves. Because some of the best looking people that I've worked with, models, actors, actresses, athletes come in and, I don't like the way this looks, or I don't like the way that looks. And that self-perception is much more an interior issue than an exterior issue.
Right, I bet. But working out is a lifestyle.
For sure.
You have to eat right.
Yep.
And maybe we can talk a little bit about what good foods you can have before working out. Let's try that question. One of the students asked, what's good to eat before working out?
It's highly subjective in that, you know, some people love having a little yogurt before they work out. Dairy doesn't work well with a lot of people. It tends to upset their stomach. You know, right before a workout, just depends on what you like to eat. You usually want a little bit of protein and some carbohydrate to make sure you can fuel that workout. Not a whole ton of fat. Generally, when you have fats in your diet right before the workout, it slows the timing of the nutrients, and that doesn't necessarily give you enough energy to get through your workout.
Right. I have a question for you myself. What would be a good protein to have instead of meat?
Chicken, fish are great protein sources. I'm a big fan of eggs and egg whites. I'm not huge on supplements in terms of protein powders. I think they're I think they're great if you don't have time to take in a proper meal or a proper nutrition or a good snack. I think they can work for a variety of people, but I do notice they tend to cause a lot of bloating. They tend to sometimes upset people's stomachs, and they're minor. And some people can stomach them very easily. But for most people, I would recommend trying to get most of your food in through actual food rather than supplements.
Really? Are you serious? Well, I mean, what about with GNC and all those stores? And they might go out of business.
Well, that's true. I'm not really too worried about them going out of business. They're doing quite well. The supplement industry is a huge industry. And don't get me wrong, supplements have their place. But the reality is, for general health and fitness, which is what you know, we work on mostly, and that's the majority of our clientele, really comes down to, you know, exercising, eating well, and being consistent. And those supplements are designed to really take that last 5% step, whereas most people are really at the bottom 95%.
Right. Okay. So I have another question for you. What's the best way to lose weight?
Diet. Simple as that. There's no evidence and no proof of anything else really working other than calories in, calories out. And one of the things that people I get asked all the time is, I'm going to start doing this exercise and this is great for losing weight and that's great for losing weight. The reality is you got to be eating well consistently and you have to be moving consistently. Big thing with health and fitness, and I used to joke about this all the time when I would work at a larger chain gym and people would just walk in and, you know, buy personal training. I used to joke, people's theory was, step one, join a gym. Step two, get a trainer. Step three, I don't know. Step four, I look like a fitness model.
That's what happens to most of us, I think.
Exactly. And, you know, people don't quite recognize that step three is a lot of years of hard work and consistency of training and eating correctly. And that takes time to build in, and that takes time to build those positive habits.
True. I have another question from a student that has an 8-year-old son that's interested in bodybuilding. Mm-hmm. So he wanted to know what's the best age to get his son training with heavy weights.
Well, heavy weights are kind of subjective. I'm not necessarily a huge fan of heavy weights for everybody, but I will say this, strength training with weights done properly has shown no ill effects regardless of age. All it can do is really strengthen the bone and strengthen the muscles, and those are positive things for everybody of all ages.
That sounds great. So another question that I had for you is it okay to work out after eating?
As long as you feel comfortable with it, it shouldn't be a problem. Some people, depending on what they eat, how they ate, it can upset their stomach. There's a huge line of supplements for pre-workouts that will help give you energy through your workout, and pre-nutrition drinks that can help you fuel those workouts if you feel that's lacking.
Right.
But it just really depends on how well you can stomach food.
Good. So I have another question, Alejandro. What's a good calorie and what's a bad calorie to take in?
It's a loaded question because the answer really is yes. Calories are calories. We have this idea that somehow they're bad or somehow they're good, and really it's just a unit of energy. When we look at calories, it's really more a matter of what's a good calorie for me right now as opposed to what's a bad calorie for me right now.
Correct.
Sugars in general, when we tend to eat, they're energy that we burn through quickly because they come into our body quickly and gives us that energy to do things, which is why when you see energy bars, they're very high in calories and can sometimes be high in sugars. It's a great thing to eat when you need a pick-me-up or you need energy. Fruits the same kind of way. When you start looking at slower digesting foods and carbohydrates in particular, they're great when we want that long-term sustained energy.
Right.
So we look at the reality of there's no such thing as a good calorie or a bad calorie. It really comes down to the nutrients have different goals and purposes, and if we really want to get into and obsess over all these little details, we can really worry about what's the best calorie for me right now as opposed to what's the worst kind of calorie for me right now. But the truth of the matter is, science has really shown us calories in, calories out, and that's kind of the bulk of and the reality of losing weight.
Right. It's like waking up in the morning, you need something to energize you. What would be a good food for that?
Fruit's great first thing in the morning. It's a great simple sugar with a little bit of fiber that gets us up and running. Oatmeal, some sort of whole wheat toast. Those are all great things to kind of give you a little bit of bulk and fiber into your diet first thing in the morning.
And give you that boost, right?
Right.
Nice. Okay, so another question I have is this student says she has a lot of cellulite. She wanted to know what was a good exercise for cellulite, or is it part of the diet that she's doing wrong?
It's part of everything. First off, there are genetic issues such as cellulite. You're not going to break that up necessarily through diet and exercise. There are certain techniques, masseuses, and I believe even estheticians will tell you they can, you know, kind of work through to kind of break up that cellulite.
With lasers. I mean, there's a bunch of new, you know, things they're using on that.
Exactly. But really, when it comes down to improving your physique, we really come down to body fat on the body plus muscle mass on the body. And most people want a little less muscle, a little less body fat, and a little more muscle mass. And that tends to take care of most of people's complaints and issues.
Right. So, you know what? That'll go right into my next question. There was a student that asked, she said she has really wide arms, and she wants to slim and trim them down. What would be a good exercise or something that you can maybe give her a feedback on that?
So one of the things to keep in mind is our body is built a certain way genetically. In terms of some of us have long limbs, short torsos, et cetera, and how we store body fat and muscle mass on those appendages, limbs, torso, is going to be really controlled by genetics. I have a client who is a shorter woman, and she's got short arms, and her arms are always looking thick compared to her body.
Right.
She's lost about 80 pounds, but her arms are still thicker than she would like. And the reality is, she has a shorter limb. The arms are always going to look a little bit differently. It's a little bit thicker, is what I should say. It's difficult, and actually it's impossible, to really spot reduce a part of the body. What we can really do is we can make the entire body smaller or the body larger, and our depending on how we put muscle mass on and how we work out, we can really target particular areas, put muscle mass on, and give a different look, a more muscular look. But it's hard to make a certain body part appear thinner because it's really going to come from the entire body as a whole.
Correct. So you would say that heavy weightlifting will build mass?
You're always looking at muscle mass in terms of when you're lifting weights of trying to add it or maintain it. Very few people have ever come into me and said, hey, I want to lose some muscle mass. Muscle mass really grows when you provide it the proper stimulation. And the proper stimulation is the intensity, the amount of weight you're lifting, and the volume and how many times you're lifting it. And you can build muscle mass from a variety of different protocols, high rep lifting, heavy weight lifting. You really want to focus on what's comfortable for you, what you feel comfortable doing, and recognizing that the more stimulus you provide your body, the different kind of a result you're going to get from it.
I mean, so you're telling me that, because I've heard before that when you do a lot of reps with lighter weights, it kind of makes it won't build mass. Is that true?
Well, it depends on how much you're doing, how you're eating. A lot of bodybuilders nowadays really love doing, you know, 5 sets of 20 reps on a particular exercise, and that's how they like to build mass. Athletes in general tend to like low reps, 5 or less, with heavier weights, and they tend to stay roughly similar in terms of weight. Volume is really what builds the muscle mass, volume in eating. If you're not eating enough food, you're not going to get bigger.
Right.
And that volume controls everything, how many reps you're lifting. So the more volume you do, the more muscle mass you're going to build.
Right. So that's great. That's a lot of information that I didn't know about. So, I mean, how many consecutive days is it recommended to work out consecutively, and how many days of rest should you take in between each workout?
The biggest thing to keep in mind is, depending on your goal, everything needs to be built around rest and recovery. If you're a 50-year-old and have a day job and you're working out, your recovery is going to be a little limited. If you're an 18-year-old young man, tons of testosterone, you're used to being active, you can recover pretty quick from a lot of different things depending on how intense the workout is. So a lot of questions in that regard are very dependent upon who you are, what you're doing, and what your goals are.
Right.
For an athlete, for example, trying to gain mass, I had an 18-year-old baseball player trying to gain mass, and it was a simple matter of 3 days a week of lifting with a barbell, putting some weight on, always trying to eat more food, and he was only able to work out 3 days a week because the weights were so heavy and intense for him to put that muscle mass on, and he needed days to make sure he could eat and recover from workout to workout.
So recovery and rest is a very important thing and part of the whole regimen.
Biggest part of it. Eating well, rest and recovery, and eating really is part of the rest and recovery aspect. Really important to make sure you see goals. Muscles respond to stimulation, not annihilation.
Great, great, great information, man. Thanks a lot for that. Another question that I had for you is, what are some good vitamins and supplements that people can decide on taking?
I'm big on supplementation, assuming we know what we're getting. I have a lot of issues with the supplement industry in terms of supplements aren't really regulated by the FDA.
Right.
And as a result, unless you're buying from quality company that makes their supplements at one or two different labs in the country, you really don't know what you're getting. The ingredients on a list may not even be what's actually in that supplement. And as a result, you tend to never quite know what you're getting. And as a result, you never know if really what you want is really in there. A couple years ago, 10 years ago, lycopene came out as a huge thing, to great for men for prostate health. And supplements and vitamin companies immediately started putting, like, now with added lycopene to try to drive sales. And the reality is the lycopene they added was so minor,
right,
it wouldn't even really make an effect or dent on an average male taking that supplement.
Right.
So I'm big on making sure that people are informed about what they're taking in terms of making sure they're getting the desired supplement for a desired result, making sure that if they want a fat burner, they're trying to go after something that actually should work. If they want something that's going to help them gain size, if they're going after a supplement that will actually help them with that, and that can sometimes be tough.
Well, that's great. You know what? It'll lead right into this next question. What do you think about growth hormones? Because I've been hearing and watching TV where it's the new fountain of youth. What do you think about that?
Well, it's interesting. We haven't had, not to my knowledge, it may be out there, too many long-term studies on the effects of people on long-term growth hormone. You know, we know for sure these different bodybuilders and athletes that have abused steroids day in, day out for years, and we see what happens to them as they age and the problems they run into. We don't have those kind of results yet on growth hormone.
What are some of the results that, I mean, some of the dangerous aspects of it, do you think?
Well, it's hard to say. I don't like to speculate on things that I don't necessarily have a ton of information on.
Right.
And it's without real evidence, it's hard to say one way or the other. We do know it has a huge number of positive effects, at least in the short term. We just don't know necessarily about long-term issues with it yet.
Okay, that's great information. Thank you for that. Another question, it's kind of a basic question. It might be a little cheesy, but a student asked, is Gatorade the same as water?
No. What happens when we work out, we, of course, sweat. We lose a lot of minerals and vitamins. And
right.
The great thing about Gatorade is it helps us rehydrate after extended exercise when it's hard to get that water in. So if you're exercising for an extended period of time, especially in the heat, Gatorade and other electrolyte drinks are great as they restore those vital minerals that your body needs to make sure you can retain that water and rehydrate.
Right, that's awesome. Okay, another student had this question. He's into track. He's my friend, and he was asking that, is running bad for his knees?
Well, that's a loaded question as well. Again, it depends. Running is bad for my knees, for sure, but I don't know much about his history, if he has any knee problems. Generally, if he's young and already pretty athletic and active and been running, he should be fine, especially if he couples it with a proper strength training program.
Great, great. So another question. I'm a beginner weightlifter. What should I learn about form before diving into heavy weightlifting?
Everything.
So here, let's talk about form. Listen, everyone, you guys need to know your form, and we're going to get a little in-depth about that. Go for it.
Well, form is one of those things that is highly subjective, and everybody has their own idea of what's right and what isn't right, and form will change depending on what your goals are. When I first sat down with a weightlifting coach and a powerlifting coach, the first thing I really realized is physics govern everything. If I have a heavy barbell, it's literally the weight I'm trying to move against gravity, and my body's a system of levers moving that barbell around. And understanding how my body interacts with that barbell is key. This is one of the reasons why Will and myself kind of talked about how important training is for people, in that most people don't understand that concept. And when they step into a gym, they think, oh, I'm just going to do what my buddy does, and he's doing this, and he's in great shape, so it must work. And understanding and paying attention to that physics and that weight and that center of mass and gravity is a huge, huge deal to understand.
What are some common injuries that people get by not having the correct form? Have you ever experienced like a lot of different people having injuries?
Oh, for sure. A lot of the injuries are, unfortunately, those types of injuries that creep up on people. People come in, I got a wrist problem. I don't know. It just started a little while ago. Then you see them doing an exercise and you go, well, no wonder. You're putting your hand in a really horrible position, or, oh, I have an elbow issue that kind of flares up. Well, yeah, when I see you grip a bar and do this and you do 3 hours of bicep curls, it's going to cause a little bit of an elbow problem. So you definitely see issues based off form, or knee issues you can correct just if someone's trying to squat or lunge, foot position. All those little details can really add up long term. It won't happen immediate. You know, if your knee's in the wrong position when you take a lunge, if you're young, first rep's not going to hurt. But that 3,000, that one will.
I bet. You know, I hear about form being a very important thing. I just wanted you to elaborate on that. So you know what? We only have a little bit more time left. Let's talk a little bit about Maximum Performance and what you guys offer. It's a gym here in Woodland Hills. Alejandro is one of the owners, and with his friend Will James. Can you tell us a little bit about your gym?
Yeah, we're a 4,200 square foot facility. We opened up in June, and we really were catering to trainers and clients. We are going to be opening up to the general public in October. We have a whole line of boot camp classes, specifically on Saturdays at 9:30. The first boot camp is always free for everybody. And we really try to, I've made an effort to make sure that every single trainer in there is very knowledgeable, driven for results, and we're providing a positive environment for people to work towards their goals.
Awesome. Because are you guys hiring? Because I have a friend that's a trainer that's looking for work.
We are currently full right now on trainers. We are taking applications. We are always taking applications for more trainers because there is space that is going to be opening up in a short amount of time. But we aren't necessarily hiring.
You hear that, Javier? They're not really hiring. So anyways, I have one more question. Do you guys offer self-defense classes at your studio?
At this point in time, we do not have self-defense classes.
They do not have self-defense classes, no. You guys. So you know what? Plug in. Tell the listeners again, where can they find you, and put out your email, your telephone number, all the information where they can get in touch with Alejandro Castillo.
Sure. The gym is located at 21144 Ventura Boulevard in Woodland Hills, California. And our phone number is 818-564-4077. And the website, which I believe is under construction, is maxper3fs.com, maxperf.com.
Is it Max Performance or
Maximum Performance Fitness Facility?
There it is, you guys. Well, you know what, Alejandro? It's been a blessing having you in the studio today. Thank you for coming out. A lot of good information came out of this interview. And say goodbye to the listeners.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Pierce College. Really appreciate it.
And you're listening to The Body Show. Let's talk body talk. I'm your host, David Lona, reporting for KPCRadio.com.